So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we talked a bit about wine, and always, wasn't it great? Isn't he a great guy? Tell you what, he is, Philippe Coquard is just one of the real gentlemen of the industry, the wine industry, and a great guy. So it was great to talk with him about wine. But we're going to turn our attention to Wisconsin's first meadery next with Colleen Boss, who is the owner and founder of Boss Meadery in Madison. She's a former medievalist and a longtime home brewer. So she fits right in on this program. I can tell you that for sure. And I'm really intrigued and interested to learn more about mead and about her business. Have you tasted mead? How would you describe it? Have a menu that you'd like to add mead to, but you aren't sure what kinds might be good pairings? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've tried mead. I'd love to hear from you about what you think of it. If you haven't, I'm sure you'll have some questions. You can email us as well at talk@WPR.org. Or please go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mealer Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And we also have links to her site, the Boss Meadery. So you can find it just by going right there. And Colleen, hi. Thanks for coming by.
Hi. Thanks for having me down.
The main ingredients of mead.
Honey, water, and yeast. At its simplest and most elegant, it can be just those three ingredients.
Wait a minute. Honey, water, and yeast? Is
that? Yep, that's it. Although you can add an infinity of other kinds of ingredients, different herbs, different spices, fruits, juices. There's a lot you can do with it, but at the very simplest, just honey, water, and yeast.
So you were a home brewer, so you brewed beer.
Yeah.
Primarily. How'd you get into mead?
Well, I do have this background in medieval history. I actually have two master's degrees in medieval history. And so once I'd brewed my first few batches of beer, I was intrigued to see, could I, you know, recreate this historical beverage? And decided to give it a try. And I just happened to really like it a lot. And probably the first batch wasn't even that good, but I liked the honey aroma and the honey flavor that was coming through. And so I kept making it, kept refining my practices and researching how best to make it. And suddenly that was all I wanted to make and all I wanted to drink. And I was not making beer very much anymore.
Oh, well, and then that led to a business.
Yes. Something that I'd had in mind for quite some time. I thought, you know, this would be a really cool thing to do. There are so many great breweries in Wisconsin, and I felt like there was a niche there for mead. And so I'd started working on a business plan. It was something that I thought made sense. And then a couple of years ago, a bunch of articles started to be written by Forbes magazine, New York Times, about kind of this renaissance around meaderies across the U.S. And I thought, all right, Madison is the right place and this is the right time. It's time to do it.
And are there meaderies there? So there, it's a growing industry, so to speak, across the country, eh?
Yeah, it's a growing niche, and especially on the coasts, there's quite a few of them cropping up, but in cities throughout the Midwest as well.
So what's the history? Well, obviously you're a historian, so you have to have studied the history of mead. Tell us about it.
Well, mead is the world's oldest fermented beverage. The earliest archaeological evidence actually goes back to 7000 BC in China. And mead pops up in ancient cultures in Africa, Asia, Europe, really all over the globe. And it was this predominant beverage for a really long time, but then as agricultural practices changed, grapes and barley became more common, and beer and wine slowly replaced mead as this, you know, kind of dominant alcoholic beverage.
And I suppose it's the first mead was probably somebody just kind of stumbled on it, I imagine.
Yeah, the historians who've studied this imagine that people probably were harvesting honeycombs and accidentally left them out in the rain, and wild yeast maybe picked up on a wet, soggy honeycomb, and then somebody drank it and realized it made them feel pretty good.
Oh, and so from there, we went everywhere.
Yeah, all over the globe. It's really quite amazing. I think a lot of people in the U.S. tend to think of it as maybe a European beverage. You know, maybe they've heard about it from medieval lore and things like mm-hmm. that, or, you know, Renaissance fairs or things like that. But it really is all over the world.
And where is it most consumed or most frequently consumed?
You know, I would argue with this recent renaissance in the United States that we're probably leading mead consumption in the world. There's certainly quite a bit in Ethiopia as well. They have a honey fermented beverage that's essentially a mead that they call tej, that's a very commonly consumed beverage in that country. But I think the United States, it's really been a part of the homebrew movement where craft brewers branched into new and different and interesting things. And mead was just one of those things. And now more and more places are doing really creative things. And I think creating some beverages that are well matched with food and just kind of a new, unique offering. And it's really taking off.
Our guest today, Colleen Boss, owner and founder of the Boss Meadery in Madison. She's a longtime home brewer that's got into this making mead quite a while back, actually, and has just sort of kept growing and growing, and she decided to make a business out of it. Great to have her along. Certainly, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've tried mead, maybe you haven't. How would you describe it? Maybe you'd have a menu that you'd like to add mead to, but you aren't sure what kinds might make a good pairing. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, too, at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So give us a call, shoot us an email, go to my Facebook page. Are there – so flavoring, so you've got honey, yeast, and water. I assume, obviously, the type of honey – the type of yeast, the type of water, all that can make a huge difference in how it's going to taste.
Yeah, it's amazing. For such a fundamentally simple beverage, the variations that you can make with different kinds of honey, with different yeast strains, you know, even water in different locations, and then all the different kinds of herbs and spices and fruits that you can add to it, it really leads to an amazing palette of flavors that can be available to you. For example, we make a mead with buckwheat honey, which is a very rich, earthy.
I love buckwheat honey.
Do you? Oh, you would love this mead. And it's so dramatically different from our wildflower mead, which is made with wildflower honey. And the only difference is the honey varietal that's being used. And the outcome is really very different. I actually think it's a lot like grape varieties. Different varietals of grape mm-hmm. grapes create very different kinds of wines. Different varietals of honey create very different kinds of meads as well.
Mm. And the water, what kind of – do you use tap water?
I am using tap water, but we are filtering it. So I think it comes out kind of the best, cleanest flavor that you can have to put into the mead. And then we've also done quite a bit of experimentation with different types of yeast to determine which ones we think bring out the best honey aroma when you're actually drinking the finished beverage.
And how long would, let's say, from the start of the process to the, you know, until you have something that you're happy with and you're going to be serving to people, how long is that process?
Well, we're actually doing something pretty unusual that way. The tradition in most people who make mead is that you throw all the honey and the yeast and the water together and you wait about a year and it's finally done fermenting and it tastes good. Mm-hmm. And it only gets better after that. I'd actually done a lot of research into some new innovative methods of making mead, and we don't put all the honey in at once. We actually slowly add the honey in over the course of a week, and it actually ferments out much faster. It's much healthier for the yeast, and as a result, you get a much better flavor. And it all happens. I actually am can have you taste mead today that's only about 8 weeks old, and it's bottled, it's on the market, and it tastes fantastic. And it really has to do with these kind of new processes that we're following that I think are probably going to catch on to with more than just us.
And I should mention, but I said Wisconsin, you were Wisconsin's first meadery, but actually there is another meadery in Wisconsin that's been around for a while. You're Madison's first.
That's right. Madison's first meadery.
I should have said Madison and not Wisconsin. So That's on me. The White Winter Winery, I think.
Yeah, they're in northern Wisconsin, and they make some beautiful meads, a lot of them with fruit flavors, which is something I'm not doing. So I think there's some compliments there between the two of us.
All right. Well, so there's room for everybody, in other words. It's sort of like, as Philippe Cocard was talking about with wines, he helps other winemakers out and other wineries out even, and he gives that advice because he thinks the more the better. And sounds that you're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I try to tell everyone I can about some of the innovations that we're doing in mead making, because I think there's just so much room for more people to be drinking mead in the world, and I want it all to be good.
All right. Well, I'll be sampling some mead. I wish you could, as you listen to the show, wish you could be sampling with me. But Colleen will be here to answer your questions right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mealer here. We're taking a look at mead today with our guest. I tell you what, it's always fun to talk about new things. There's been a renewed interest in bees and having hives at home. And in fact, on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about the status of honeybees. But today, we're going to talk about one of the more fun uses of honey, and that's to make mead, with Colleen Boss, who is the owner and founder of Boss Meadery in Wisconsin, in Madison, actually. She's a former medievalist and a longtime home brewer. Great to have her along, and certainly I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along today. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page, post there at The Larry Mealer Show. And again, Colleen, great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And again, for those who may be just joining us, mead is?
Mead is any fermented beverage that's made primarily with honey. So at its simplest, it's just honey, water, and yeast. But you can have all kinds of different fun things that are added into that, whether it's herbs or spices or fruits or juices. There's kind of an infinity of things you can do with that basic recipe.
And you have done that with the meads that you're making and in your new business.
Yes, absolutely.
How many different types of mead have you made, or do you have?
Right now, we have 6 meads that are available on the market, but we have probably another 6 recipes that we're working on that we hope to release soon.
A Facebook comment from Liz, who said, my dad passed down his mead recipe to me. He starts his with tomatoes and thinks champagne yeast is best. When I got married, we ended the ceremony with a mead toast for all of the guests.
Well, I think I like the way Liz's dad thinks, because I think there's a couple cool things that are happening there. Using a champagne yeast typically results in a drier mead.
Okay.
And that's what I like. That's my taste in mead, is to have something drier rather than sweeter. And I think the tomatoes that he's using probably introduce some acidity into the mead, which is also something that helps just sort of balance out the sweetness and the flavor. And I think you don't end up really being able to taste tomato, but you get a little acidity, and I think it really makes the aroma pop.
And you mentioned a drier mead, and you brought one for me to taste, and it's wonderful, the wildflower sort of a basic mead.
Yeah, it's the simplest, in my opinion, most elegant kind of mead. I'm using 3 different Wisconsin wildflower honeys, and I never heat the mead. I never bring it to a boil. And so I think you really get the maximum sort of honey and flavor and aroma, and yet it's still dry enough that I think it pairs really nicely with food.
Facebook question from Thomas, who says, is mead, is it beer, is it wine, or is it something else? Is it carbonated or flat, sweet or dry, bold or smooth?
Well, the answer to all those things is yes.
Ah.
No, mead is kind of its own animal. It's, wine is made with grape juice, and beer is made with fermented barley. But the cool thing about mead is that you can combine it with a little bit of fermented barley, and that's called a braggot, and it's basically a beer-mead hybrid. And you can also make meads with wine grape juice, and those are called piments. So they can kind of, it's its own thing that's different from wine and different from beer, but it can kind of bridge to both of those other types of alcohols as well. And it can also be sweet or dry. It can be sparkling or still.
Yeah,
I actually make pomegranate piment, which I brought samples of today. And so that's an example of one that's a blend with wine. You've actually gotten that one, pomegranate juice, Riesling grape juice, and clover honey.
And it is delicious. I can tell you that. Dolores in Kenosha has a question. Let's go to her. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, I just got so much information after you came off the break. My big experience with mead was our family, our immediate family, us and the four kids and their significant others, the holidays get kind of, you know, you're going here, you're going there. St. Patrick's Day is the day we always celebrate here. And we always do the boiled dinner. And my son brought mead the one time. And it was excellent with it, but it was sweet. It was very rich. But you're talking about the dryer thing. That would even be better, I'm thinking. So I'm going to be looking online to see, you know, where I can get this from you.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. Yeah, that's, I think, exactly what you're talking about. I think lots of people taste mead and they love that honey aroma. It's just beautiful. But a lot of times, especially traditional meads, if they come from Europe, are very, very sweet. And I think it makes it much harder to pair them with meals. So I felt like there was a lot of room out in this world for a nice, beautiful honey aroma. But with something that's drier and that you can actually have with that St. Patrick's Day dinner.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And by the way, Dolores, you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. We've got a link to the site Colleen's site, actually, is what I should say.
Yep.
And just go ahead and give that site.
www.bossmeadery.com.
Bossmeadery.com, and again, you can go to our site and just link right to it. So we'd love to have you do that, too. A Facebook comment from Kudrin, another place to visit when I come to Madison, Kudrin says, my favorite way to drink mead and melomel is at an event of the Society for Creative Anachronism, accompanied by live recorder music, singing, and dancing.
May I also recommend that you buy a drinking horn and fill your drinking horn with mead while you're listening to the recorder and dancing. And I have to say, too, I hosted the Society for Creative Anachronism here in Madison for an event at the Meadery. They did some tours and tastings. And what a knowledgeable bunch of folks. They really know quite a bit about mead, and they really seem to appreciate having a drier option on the market. So I hope everybody will get a chance to enjoy that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks. Thanks very much for that comment. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Colleen Boss, I guess your last name is spelled B-O-S.
That's correct.
But spelled like boss.
It sounds like it should have two S's, but it just has the one.
Just has the one. Kurt and Poinette, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I had to call in today to ask a question for your guest. I've done about 24 batches of home brew over the years, and I am about to embark in the next day or two on my second batch of mead.
Ah, cool.
Great.
First one took about a year to finish, as you say, and it finished clear. It was carbonated, sparkly. It tasted like the finest low-carbonated champagne, great on a hot summer day. Now, question for you. I intend to boil the honey, 5 pounds of honey, like a beer. You said something earlier about you don't heat your honey?
Yeah, you really don't have to. Different from beer, which I certainly always followed the standard practice of boiling beer when I brew beer,
yeah.
With mead, the honey is naturally antiseptic. So as long as you're pretty fast about when you mix up the honey in the water, pitch your yeast right away, you really don't have to worry about boiling it the way you do with, a beer in the process. That naturally antiseptic quality of honey will really protect the honey, and as long as you get that fermentation started right away, you'll find it's you're safe from infection, and the honey aroma that you'll get at the end will be really beautiful.
Now,
I'm adding two other things. I like to add an ounce of hops Mm-hmm. Also, and also I am going to add some fresh cranberries that I got from northern Wisconsin. What about those two ingredients with this non-boiling process?
Well, hops are also pretty naturally antiseptic. Now, with the cranberries, that does introduce some possibility for some wild fermentation. Uh-huh. So you might want to consider, you know, maybe some Campton tablets or something like that that might quell some wild yeast.
Oh.
Okay, I think the recipe does that. And I believe you have a gathering this Saturday. Will you be there for me to ask you some specific questions?
Absolutely. I love to answer questions. And yes, we're going to be at the High Noon Saloon from 2 to 5 this Saturday afternoon having a launch party for the meadery. And we'll have some live bluegrass music with the Oak Street Ramblers and the Lurkards. And you're more than welcome to come down and ask questions.
I think I've got to come and talk to you before I start this batch. So great for the information. Thank you.
All right, Kurt, thanks a lot. Glad for calling. Appreciate your calling. And now, would Kurt be able to sort of start the process the way you do, which is adding the honey a little at a time rather than all at once?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason you can't do that in your home mead setup just as well as I do it at the meadery. It's just a matter of planning ahead and measuring out the honey and adding it in a little bit at a time. So a little bit more work for the first week that you're doing it rather than just starting everything at once. But I think it'll pay off in the fact that you get to enjoy your mead much faster.
Much faster. From the way it sounds. And Kurt, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. And Stephen Fitchburg. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, thanks for taking the call. I have an uncle in Michigan who raised blueberries and always kept bees to pollinate them. And then that made for some very good honey. I think even better was honey that was sourced from around the cranberry bogs in around Wisconsin Rapids, where I've got a brother. But that's not happening anymore so much. It's not available because of the bees dying off. Have you ever used that kind of honey, or is it
cranberry honey?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm working on a recipe right now for a cranberry honey mead. Just playing around right now with what the best yeast is and things like that. But there are still enough cranberry bogs and enough good farmers taking advantage of that you can still get cranberry honey in Wisconsin. And I especially like that because I like to highlight local ingredients and support Wisconsin agriculture whenever I can. So one of the reasons that I'm working on cranberry honey mead is particularly to take advantage of that here in Madison or here in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much for calling, Steve. Appreciate it. And let's turn to Irene in Monona. Hello, Irene. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Ooh, that was quick. I've never heard of this before. And I'd like to know, is it available commercially in the area? I do believe, I missed the first part of the show. And where specifically is it available? And the next thing is it so much better if it's homebrewed?
Well, let me answer both those questions. I mean, I think there's absolutely no reason why a homebrewed mead can't be just as good as a commercial mead. But I will say I've been homebrewing mead for, 8 or 9 years now. And now I also have the commercial facilities that really allow me to do everything with, professionalism and polish. So I obviously will encourage you to check out Boss Mead for sure. And it's pretty easy to find. We've gotten really great support from local retailers. So Steve's, Barrique's, Star Liquor, Trixie's Liquor, Riley's Wines
Madison.
Of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, these are all Madison area outlets that have it, although Woodman's also carries it, so that gives a little broader coverage, and I think Discount Liquor for people in the Milwaukee area.
I think Star is probably in Woodman's closer to the east side in Monona.
Yeah, Woodman's pretty close to you, Irene.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to, and by the way, here's that number again, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We've got another Facebook or an email question from Gary. Does your meadery make a version of Krupnik, a Polish honey mead or liquor?
The answer is no. And I've always been a little unclear on whether Krupnik is a liquor, you know, which would be actually a distilled beverage, or whether it's actually a form of mead. But what I do know is it's a very sweet beverage. And so, you know, most of the things that we're doing are really on the dry end of the spectrum rather than on that sweeter end of the spectrum.
And I did want to go back. Kurt brought up that fact that he knew you were having an event on Saturday. And let's talk some more about that. So this is sort of your launch, kind of, in a way.
Yeah. And, you know, we started production in July, and I originally imagined that I would want to have some kind of a party to celebrate the first batches being available on the market, which started in September. But everything was just so busy at that time, getting the business off the ground, that we haven't really had time to sort of sit back and relax and celebrate the fact that we're out on the market and things are going well. But I'm glad we're doing it now, because I feel like we've launched, we're off the ground, and now's the time to celebrate. So we're having some live music, and it's going to be my opportunity to thank a lot of people who've been really critical to helping me get started and to be successful.
And there'll be some opportunity, great music at the High Noon Saloon.
Yep, great music at the High Noon Saloon. And the High Noon Saloon is also going to put a couple different Boss Meads on tap. So there will be the Pomegranate Pie Mint available on tap, and also the black pepper mead available on tap, and then we'll have buckwheat mead and wildflower mead also available in bottles.
And I'm telling you, that black pepper infused mead, I took a few sips of it, and I'm thinking, man, this would pair with some cheeses. So really good, really well.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I had a friend of mine brought out a really stinky, beautiful French goat cheese the other day, and we opened up a bottle of black pepper mead, and it was wonderful.
I can believe that. Colette in River Falls, thanks for calling. Hi.
Oh, I've got a question. I've been a home winemaker for a long time. We tried a batch of mead, and we were trying to go for 12% alcohol, and we let it sit for about a year in the carboy, and then bottled it. And 6 months later, it started blowing corks and blowing up bottles. And I would like to avoid that next time. I don't wonder if you could help. I'm pretty experienced at making wine, so I was really surprised. But I've heard that mead has a tendency to ferment very slowly.
Yeah, the tradition with mead is that it does take a really long time to ferment. I think the amount of sugar and the intensity of the sugar in the honey really overwhelms the yeast population. So they end up with a pretty sluggish fermentation, the traditional methods of making mead. What I recommend is that you add the honey slowly, add a little bit every other day for the course of about a week. And what you'll find is that the honey is much better able to keep up with or the yeast is much better able to keep up with the amount of honey that you're putting in. It'll ferment out much more quickly. And, you know, if you bottle it a few months later, you won't have to worry about it blowing out the corks.
How long do you keep it in the carboy before you bottle it?
Well, I actually follow a process that only takes 8 weeks from beginning to end. It spends
That's amazing.
Yeah, it spends 2 weeks in a primary fermenter and then another 6 weeks clarifying.
Okay, because we did a year. Do you have a publication that you do also?
I don't do a publication, but if you go to my website, I do try to post information and articles and things like that on a regular basis, and I'll certainly continue to do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Again, you can go to my Facebook page and get a link right to that site. Peter in Amherst Junction, it's your turn. Hi, Peter.
Hi there. Love the show. Quick question. I also tuned in a little bit late. I've been brewing wine for many years, and I've had mead a few because I raise my own bees. And mine has always been very sweet, and I'm just trying to find out, do you have a recipe book that is available, or are some of your recipes for the different types that you make available online?
You know, I don't currently have them available, but that's a really nice suggestion, because as my attitude is, I want to share as much information with everybody as I can, because I think there's a lot of room in this world for good mead. So I like that suggestion, and I'll look at adding something like that to my website, because I think I can make some suggestions on yeast strains and practices that might help you get a little drier mead than the sweeter ones you've been getting.
You have
my local wine bottler person is the one who's been telling me, but they've never done mead on their own, so they're kind of We got some bagasse type stuff.
Well, Colleen's got a wildflower, just a basic wildflower mead that she brought in today that I'm sampling. Is really dry, and it's wonderful. You should get a bottle of it and try it. You really like it.
I'm pretty far north of you guys, but so send one up, and I'll love it.
yeah, that's right. You're at Amherst Junction. You're not right around the corner.
No, we're about 100 miles, but next time I'm down there, I look for it.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And obviously, go to the website.
Absolutely. Go to the website. We'll continue to update it and to add more information there. And you can also contact me via the website, and I'm always happy to take questions from people and try to answer back very promptly.
Yeah. Appreciate your call very much. And mead pops up in the literature so much, doesn't it? And then in poetry.
Absolutely. I mean, my first introduction, I think probably the first time I ever heard about mead was reading Beowulf. And Grendel is attacking King Hrothgar's mead hall. And boy, you can't make someone mad faster than attacking their mead hall. It's going to be war.
Oh, man.
So, it shows up in Beowulf. And then just recently, the Game of Thrones series, which is very popular, fantasy series and an HBO TV show that accompanies it. And they're regularly quaffing mead in that, making it sound wonderful, as it is.
Dave and Tomahawk, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, you were step-feeding your meads, or step-feeding the honey during fermentation. Do you do that in conjunction with or instead of the staggered nutrient additions that I've read so much about and that I've used in the past?
I do it in conjunction with that, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I think they're both really critical. You add the honey in over the course of the week, and then I usually add the honey in every other day over the course of that week. And the day after I add the honey, I add the nutrients. And that seems to be the right cycle as the yeast are going through their cycles of growth and processing of sugar. They need to get some additional nutrients every few days as well.
Very good to know. Thank you. I'll try that.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And you have shortened the mead making time of a lot of people here in the state of Wisconsin. And I know they're going to enjoy your meads, Colleen. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I hope we can do this again.
I hope so, too.
Colleen Boss is the owner and founder of Boss Meadery in Madison. Please go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mealer Show. You'll find some more information about their great event that they're having this weekend. To celebrate the meadery. Appreciate having her with us. And thank you for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.